Parshas Kisisa is a very full parsha. It begins with the mitzvah of counting the Jewish people. Each Jew was commanded to bring half a shekel, whether they were rich or poor. And these half a shekel were used to both count the Jewish people, and then they were melted down for the socket to hold the beams of the Mishkan walls. These coins were called a kofer nefesh, redeeming the soul. Next came the command to put a kior, a wash basin, at the entrance to the Mishkan for the Kohanim, followed by the command how to make ketores, the incense spice that was offered on the Mizbeach HaZahav inside the Mishkan. Then came the topic of anointing the vessels with a special oil. There was then the selection of Betzal and Haliyav to be the ones to construct the Mishkan. And then came the command not to build the Mishkan on Shabbos with an explanation as to how holy the Mishkan is. The end of the parsha details the sin of the golden calf, the Egel HaZahav. There are many more topics that come in this parsha. Today, I'm going to discuss the insights of the Senarena about some of the beginning sections of the parsha and how they all connect together. To begin the parsha, the Senarena quotes what seems to be like an unrelated pasuk from Rabbeinu Bachaye, where he writes, Shlomo Melch says in Mishlei, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim, someone who has Yiras Shemayim, who fears Hashem, has days added to him. Being a tzaddik prolongs his days and years. Ushnos Rishaim Tikatzorna, and the years of the wicked are shortened. How is the life of one who fears Hashem lengthened? The Tenarena brings a fundamental principle about how Hashem manages the world. Every day, Hashem does miracles for us, or for the entire Jewish people, where they don't even know that we are the beneficiaries. For example, our car was going to be struck, Chas V'Shalom, and at the last second, Hashem caused the other person to swerve. Or a nation could be plotting to attack Israel, and then the leader gets sick, so they decide not to attack. Hashem intervenes to prevent bad before we see it. This is what is called a nes nister, a hidden miracle. These hidden miracles allow there to be space for people to recognize Hashem in their lives or to deny Hashem's involvement. There is another nes nister, another hidden miracle related to the pasuk quoted from Mishlei. We all know that stress and fear shortens a person's life expectancy. Fear and stress cause heart attacks and other diseases. If a tzaddik is always afraid of Hashem, he should have a shorter life, but that's not the case. Instead, Mishlei tells us that his days are lengthened. The fact that Yiras Hashem does not hurt a person physically is a miracle. It's a hidden miracle, but it's still a miracle. On the flip side, if a person eats well and focuses on their body, then by nature it should make the person live longer. But a Rasha can eat well and be super focused on his physical health, and his life is still shortened, and this is also a nes nister, a hidden miracle. The Tenarena qualifies this principle by letting us know that there are tzaddikim who live shorter lives and rishaim who live longer lives. He explains that this happens for a few reasons. A tzaddik who does not live to an old age may not be completely righteous, so he doesn't merit as large of a nes nister to prolong his life as others might receive. And the evil person might not be completely evil, so he doesn't die young. Additionally, even if we know that someone is completely righteous and they die young, it could be that Hashem has decided that it would benefit the tzaddik to die so that they will get all the reward in the next world, and the rasha will get more punishment in the next world as well. These exceptions don't contradict the idea that the longevity of a person is a miracle and a sign of Hashem's intervention in the world. The Tenarena tells us explicitly that this belief that Hashem is involved in every day of our life and that Hashem does hidden miracles for every person is a fundamental belief. We may not see the miracles or feel that they are miracles, but we must believe that they are there and that Hashem is with us at all times, at every hour, and every moment. And He is giving us reward and punishment in this world and in the next for all of our actions. Someone who does not believe in these hidden miracles and does not pay attention to them is called one who does not believe in the Torah and is not a Baal Emunah, not one who does not have faith. Hashem operates via hidden miracles to give people the option to accept or reject Hashem. A person has to have a lot of merit to be worthy of open miracles. This means that there will be more of a likelihood of a miracle if it's not obvious. Based on this, Chazal teaches us a principle. Ein bracha mitzuya lo al hadavar hamadud. There is no blessing on something that is measured. Hashem wants to do miracles in secret to allow for free choice, so He doesn't bring miracles on something where the outcome is already known. Chazal teach a practical application of this principle. If something is already measured, for example, if we look in a cupboard and see that we have 10 pounds of flour, And then we daven that Hashem should send us more flour, send me a blessing, increase my flour. This is by definition a false prayer. In addition to allowing room for free choice, the Ayin Hara, the evil eye, comes on something that is counted and measured and weighed. The Ayin Hara exacts judgment and evaluation, and it can't come on something which is not fully known because then it can't be subject to the exacting judgment of other people. Let's bring this back to our parsha. At the beginning of the parsha, Hashem commands Moshe to count the Jewish people, but to use half a shekel to do this counting. Each of Bnei Israel should give half a shekel, and by that they knew how many Jews there were in the nation. The pasuk says in the parsha, "Vinasnu ish kofer nafsho," and each person should give a ransom for his soul. Every one of Klal Yisrael will redeem himself for half a shekel. V'lo yiyeh bahem negef, and there will be no death among you. What's the problem with counting people individually? When we count each person separately, it sets them apart from their peers. This causes Hashem to look at each person individually to weigh their deeds, their mitzvos versus their averos, which could harm that person, because they could see the deed of each and every person, and a person may not be able to stand up to such cruel scrutiny. They might not be perfect. Nobody is perfect. So Hashem's scrutiny, they'll never be able to survive. But if he and the whole congregation are looked at as a group, between them all, there are many, many mitzvos. And so this power of being part of the community raises us up. If we think we are so great that we need to stay alone, we need to stay separate from others, we actually lose out on the positive that comes from being with people who we might think less of. That arrogance is actually dangerous, as we are then held to a much more exacting standard because we will be judged independently. Rabbeinu Bachaye, not brought in the Tzenarena, expands on this idea. There was a woman in the time of Elisha who built him a room and did him a favor. Elisha Hanavi, Elisha the prophet, asks her, "What do you need? What can I do for you? How can I repay you for your kindness?" She responds, "Besoch ami anochi yosheves. I am sitting among my people. I prefer not to be singled out for doing something good because that might bring din. I might become judged because Hashem is going to look at me as an individual. It's better if what I have comes along with what everyone else has." The idea of counting the Jewish people through a coin taught us that we need to be part of a group. It can also teach us the idea that our life is run by Nes Nister. Hashem is involved and is taking care of each one of us. And this should be a great comfort for us. If something doesn't go the way I want, we can assure ourselves that Hashem is always orchestrating our lives to give us the best. And what I assume is not good is actually the best for me, and Hashem has intervened to make my life the way it should be. The Tzenarena now begins discussing the different aspects of the mitzvah of a half a shekel coin. Hashem commanded everyone to give a half a shekel coin. Where did this coin come from? Moshe Rabbeinu was considered the king of the Jewish people, and he made himself a coin of money according to what kings do. Each king mints a coin for himself. And Moshe Rabbeinu's coin is called the Shekel HaKodesh, the Holy Shekel. Why is it called the Holy Shekel? Well, what is Kedusha? What is holiness that we can see in this world? It's mitzvos. This coin was used for so many mitzvos. It was used for so many holy things. Everything in the Torah was weighed in comparison to this coin. The firstborn child, who is considered holy to Hashem, was redeemed with 5 shekels of silver. And the shekel was used for many mitzvos to bring Kedusha down to this world. The Tzenarena then takes us on a little tangent to use the idea that the shekel is called Shekel HaKodesh to explain why the language of the Torah is called Lashon HaKodesh, the holy language. Lashon HaKodesh was used when Hashem spoke to Moshe, which makes it holy. The names of Hashem are all in Lashon HaKodesh, and the names of the Melachim, the angels, are also all in Lashon HaKodesh. In fact, the world was created with Hashem's speech in the beginning of Bereishis, and the world was created with, you guessed it, Lashon HaKodesh. The Tzenarena ends that when Mashiach comes, the whole world will stop being divided and everyone will speak in Lashon HaKodesh. And he quotes a pasuk from Zephaniah to prove this. The transition of the world moving from many languages to one language brings everything full circle. At the beginning of creation, there was one language. Only at the time of the Dor HaFlaga, the generation of dispersal, did Hashem put a different language for each nation. At the end of time, When every nation once again serves Hashem properly, Hashem will make a miracle and everyone will once again speak Lashon HaKodesh. The shekel was the coin minted by Hashem, and Hashem wanted a different way to count Bnei Israel. But why were they told to specifically take half a coin and not a full coin? There are a few reasons given by the Tzenarena. The first reason given is that this is a reference to the sin of the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf. Bnei Israel made a calf which transgressed the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments that Hashem said himself, specifically the commandments of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, who took you out of Egypt. All 10 commandments of the Aseres HaDibros flow from this one commandment. So Hashem commanded us to give half a shekel, which is made up of 10 parts, to atone for the person who broke the 10 commandments. Another reason that Hashem gave for this command to give the half a shekel is to atone for the egel that was made in the middle of the day. Moshe didn't come down after 6 hours, which was midday, and this is when the Avera happens. The Tzur HaMor, quoted by the Tzenarena, connects many ideas together. Kisisa is written next to the section which discusses the spices of the Ketores, the incense. At the time when there was a plague in the Jewish people, Moshe told Aaron to go through the camp with a pan of Ketores, and the plague stopped. Ketores stops the plague and stops people from dying. But the contrast is that by counting people, a plague will come. This is why the Pasuk says that each man should give the redemption of his soul. Everyone should redeem himself with this coin so that no plague will come by the counting of the souls. What are we to do in our day? While the Beis HaMikdash existed, the Ketores, the incense, could stop the plague. But what about now? Now we can give what parallels the Machatzitza Shekel, which is the mitzvah of tzedakah. Ever since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem infused this special power into the tzedakah we give, so that tzedakah delays and stops plagues and evil decrees. As it is written, Utzedakah tatzil mimavesh. Charity saves from death. Our Chachamim say in the parasha above that Hashem forgives our sins once a year, and that is on Yom Kippur. The beginning of the parasha says Kisisa, which means when you lift, meaning that Hashem, when you lift and forgive the sins of the Jewish people, you will do so thanks to the charity which is represented by the half a shekel. This is an additional reason that is only a half a shekel. Hashem commanded to give half a shekel to show that Hashem is not asking for so much charity. He's not saying you need to bankrupt yourself in order to give charity to get redemption. You only need to give a half a shekel. If you're rich or poor, everyone can give equally. It's not going to be too much of a burden. There is no excuse to be stingy. Even a small amount is possible to give to gain redemption. The Tzenarena concludes this discussion of the half a shekel coins with two ideas brought from the Rabbeinu Bachai. First, he mentions that Rabbeinu Bachai writes that we gave half a shekel to hint to an important idea. Man is made up of two parts. We're made up of our body and we're made up of our soul. And there's always a battle going on which half of us is going to be more dominant. Is it going to be the body or the soul? We give a half a shekel to Hashem to say, I'm giving the part of me that's my body to serve Hashem. I want my half that's physical, I want it to be subservient to the spiritual. This half of me is going to be used only to serve Hashem. These shkalim were made to create pedestals in which the boards that formed the Mishkan stood. This was for a kapara, an atonement for the sin of the Egel HaZahav. This was a sign of what tshuva should look like. A Baal tshuva, someone who has changed and done tshuva for sins, is meant to be humble. These pedestals everybody could see, and they were low to the ground. This is symbolic of how we should consider ourselves and how we should act. The Tzenarena now transitions to a new topic in the parsha, which is the commandment to make a kiyor. This was the basin that was used by the Kohanim in the Mishkan and later in the Beis HaMikdash to wash their hands and feet simultaneously so that we would be purified to serve in the Holy Temple. The Kohanim would wash their hands and feet at once from the kiyor because they put their hands on their feet and opened the water from the kiyor. And there were 12 reeds, 12 spigots, so that 12 Kohanim could wash at once because they were needed 12 Kohanim to bring the karbanos of the day. We heard a lot about the vessels in last week's parsha. So why is the kiyor found here after we talk about the Machatzit HaShekel? The Torah writes about the kiyor next to Parsha Shkalim, about the Machatzit HaShekel, because it's connecting the two ideas, tzedakah and washing. The Parsha of Shkalim teaches about giving tzedakah, and the kiyor reminds us about the mitzvah to wash our hands before we eat. This shows that giving money and food to the poor is a very great mitzvah, and we should try to do both. There's another reason why the Kiyor is next to the Parsha of the Shkalim, and is to show that if one doesn't give tzedakah, this causes poverty. Because Hashem has entrusted us with money to give to others. It's not our money, as we talked about last week. And if one doesn't do netilas yadayim, if one doesn't wash our hands, according to halacha, it also brings poverty. As Chazal say, whoever washes their hands with a lot of water, Hashem gives many benefits and brachos. After the Kiyor, we learn about the commandment to make a special anointing oil, the Shemen HaMishcha. This anointing oil makes something holy for Hashem. This oil would be used to be the anointing oil to anoint the vessels and the Kohanim. Rabbeinu Bechai writes the name of the Ramban that the Pasuk needed to say that the oil will be for sanctifying the Kohanim. And why does it say that the oil will be mine? The answer is that it is not only the priests who are going to be anointed, but the kings were also anointed from this oil, like David HaMelech and other kings. After this, the Torah says to make ketores, incense. They were to take 11 different spices, and among the good-smelling spices was also included one spice that was called the chalbana. This spice stinks. So in a place we're supposed to be careful to only bring the best, why bring a stinky spice? This shows the idea we had already talked about. Hashem does not despise the wicked when they repent. And when they come close to tzaddikim and fast and pray, this is actually what Hashem wants. Our sages have said when the congregation fasts and prays and there are no wicked people there, their prayer is not received before Hashem. Hashem wants everyone there. As we said before, a tzaddik counted alone is inviting trouble, and a rasha doing tshuva and davening is then necessary for there to be the Shekhinah. Hashem isn't desecrated when the wicked repent and are part of our group. Rather, if the wicked aren't among us and they're not doing tshuva along with us, then the righteous, the tzaddikim, are punished because Klal Yisrael is held responsible for each other. The Tzenarena then says that this is the reason why the lulav is taken together with the aravos, the willow branches, that don't have a good smell or a good taste. This symbolizes that rishaim don't have Torah and mitzvos. They have no smell and no taste. They have no Torah and mitzvos. And other species are combined with a lulav, and they have at least one good characteristic. The esrog has a good smell and also a good taste. The adasim have a good smell. And the lulav, at least it grows on a tree that grows dates that taste good. And even so, we take all these things and we bind them with the willow, the arava. We bind these meaning together with something that has no strengths. It only has weaknesses. To show that Hashem wants and hopes that those who are evil will do tshuva and become better, and they should be considered among the righteous. They are part of our group. This idea is found in the next part of the parsha as well. Hashem said, "See, I called in the name of Bezalel." This teaches us that among Israel, there was no one who would be an expert in silver and gold or silk work. Because where would they learn this from? When they were in Mitzrayim, they knew how to make mortar and bricks. And here Hashem wasn't asking them for mortar and bricks. They needed to make beautiful vessels. Bezalel was just a boy, and Hashem chose him at the age of 12 years old to be the craftsperson. Hashem gave him prophecy so that he would know how to craft in gold and silver and silk and all the other important vessels. And Hashem chose that Eliav ben Achisamach should work with him and partner with Bezalel. Eliav was from the Shevet of Dan. And the Shevet of Dan was a simple tribe. It was not a prominent tribe. It was not an important tribe. And Bezalel was from the most important tribe. He was from the Shevet Yehuda. And Hashem specifically chose that these two individuals should work together, so that no one should say that I'm too proud to work with somebody else, that I come from an important family, I have yichus, and the other person doesn't, so I don't want to associate them, I don't want to deal with them. Even if a person comes from a privileged family, they should associate with everybody in Klal Yisrael, even from the most simple families, because before Hashem, everyone is equal. This is the message of this week's parsha. How are we kisisa? How are we lifted up? We are lifted up by giving half a shekel, because half a shekel is always missing its other half. Only with everyone together can we be redeemed. The Tzenarena mentioned that in the times of Mashiach, we will all speak the same language, and that same language will be holy. We need to focus on how to connect and join with others, even those who I might disapprove of right now, as our greatest power is our unity. Have a good Shabbos.